Now we move on to the next lesson, lesson 39. In this lesson, we talk about two other important conditions of imam according to the Shia. Imam must be ma'soom. And also, imam must have a special knowledge. Our brothers from other schools of Islam, they don't believe in the isma of imam. If you remember, we said they believe in the isma of the prophet to a certain extent. The isma of the prophet in delivering the message, in tabligh, in prophetic life is accepted by them. But the isma of the prophet before he becomes a prophet or after he becomes a prophet in his personal life, it's something that is controversial among non-Shia. For example, some say prophet may do minor sins or unintentional sins in his personal life. And all of them say there is no problem if a prophet was not ma'asum before he was a prophet. A prophet can be idol worshiper before becoming a prophet. Okay? We had very clear stance about isma of the prophets. When it comes to the leaders who are appointed by Allah to continue the job, again, we say that they must be also ma'asum before they are chosen by Allah as leaders and after. With respect to their position as leader and also with respect to their personal life. So this is the idea that we have. Basically, our idea is very consistent. We say it doesn't make difference whether it is Nabi or Rasul or Imam, because if they are a divine position, is Ahd Ilahi, it's a divine position. Divine position needs Isma. One reason for this is what? Verse 124 of Surah Baqarah. We discussed this verse before. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَهْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ أَهْدِي. When something is a divine covenant, is a divine position, would not reach zalimin. And we explained this before in details. Zalimin is not only the one who does zulm today. Zalimin is the one who either does zulm today or did zulm before. When we say someone is murderer, what does it mean? It means he's murdering now? Not necessarily. Maybe he murdered yesterday. Maybe he murdered yesterday. But still we call him murderer. We talked about this before. So, one reason for imam being ma'soom is وَلَا يَنَالُ أَهْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ. The second reason is the verse of Ulul Amr in Surah Nisa. You know, we in Quran we have chapter for Nisa, but we don't have chapter for Rijal. Okay. So in Surah Nisa, verse 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you must obey Allah, obey the messenger, and ulul amr. If ulul amr were not ma'soom, then Allah should not have asked us to obey them in the same way that we obey Rasulullah unconditionally. Yeah? Because someone who is not ma'soom, you can tell people obey him, but as long as he is not, you know, making mistake or asking, like for example, Allah says, obey your parents. But because parents are not ma'soom, then Allah says, wa in jahadaka ala an tushrika bi ma laysa laka bihi ilm fala tuti'huma. But when it comes to ulul amr or to Rasulullah, Allah doesn't say, if they try to misguide you or to ask you to associate partner to God, don't obey them. So it means that it's unconditional. Okay? So obedience to Rasulullah is unconditional. Obedience to Imam or Ulul Amr means those that by authority from Allah have wilayah. Unfortunately, some people think Ulul Amr means whoever has power. You know, this is an idea that it's very popular among some non-Shia Muslims. They say Waliul Amr is the one who is ruling, who has power. We talked about this before, if you remember. Because they say when someone is established and is now leading the community, the society, you shouldn't rebel against him. And I said maybe the reason, you know, if you want to defend on their behalf, the best we can defend is to say that because if you rebel against him, there would be anarchy, there would be chaos, there would be no order. Okay? So you should be grateful that there is someone that keeps order in the society. Okay? Pardon?
Even by disorder.
By soldier?
Even by disorder.
Yeah. Disorder. Or, for example, maybe he has killed his father and he became Khalifa. No problem. That is what Allah decides about it. But now he is Khalifa. He has power. You should listen to him. We say it's okay that there must be someone who brings order. And we accept that having a bad ruler is better than anarchy. Imam Reza alayhi salam said, La budda linnas min imamin barran kana aw fajira. People should have a leader. Bad or good, it's better than having no leader. You know, imagine if in a country of millions of people, if there is no order, no system, okay, then some bad people, which can be found everywhere, will start killing, looting, okay? So at least it's better if one person is doing zulm than everyone, you know, being a potential threat. So we accept that there must be an order, must be order. But we say this doesn't mean that everyone is legitimate just because he is bringing some order. Okay, Saddam Hussein was giving, you know, good discipline. Yeah, there was discipline. But this doesn't mean Saddam Hussein is legitimate. Okay? Many dictators are very good in bringing discipline, order, you know, punctuality. Dictators normally are very good in bringing punctuality. And sometimes democracy doesn't bring that type of order that we expect. But legitimacy is another issue. Especially if someone wants to claim that his authority is because he is Khalifa to Rasulullah, his successor to Rasulullah, in the name of Islam, he wants. So we say, instead of accepting either anarchy or any person who has ability to bring order, we have a third option. We say we should go for Islamic model of leadership. So we want order, we need leadership, but a leadership that is legitimate. Okay? So Ulul Amr is not any leader. Ulul Amr is the one that has wilaya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to obey him unconditionally. The next thing is the ayah of Tathir. Ayatullah Misbah uses also ayah Tathir, chapter Ahzab, 33, verse 33, is about Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, which includes Imams and Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha. Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتُ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. This irada, this will of Allah to purify them is takwini or tashri'i. Okay, now you know these terminologies. Al-iradatu tashri'iyya, legislative will of God. This ayat doesn't refer to Al-iradatu tashriya. Why? Because al-iradatu tashriya for Allah belongs to purity of all people. Allah wants all people to be purified. Yeah? Because al-iradatu tashriya, what Allah commands and prohibits in His religion, in His sharia. Yeah? Does Allah want in His legislation only Ahlul Bayt to be pure? No. So this is not al-iradatu tashriya, because al-iradatu tashriya is general. What this ayah is explaining is al-iradatu takwiniya, is the generative will of God, which is not just saying to people you should do this or you shouldn't do this. Al-iradatu takwiniya is the one that comes with implementation, comes with materialization, with realization. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. Which type of إرادة is this? إذا أراد شيئا. أراد إرادة تشريعية or إرادة تكوينية. تكوينية. When Allah wants something in the form of إرادية تكويني, that's definitely happening. So this cannot be تشريعي, because تشريعي is not for only Ahlul Bayt. So it is takwini. It means that Allah has given them this purification. Okay? When He says yurido, yurido means it has been carried out, it has been fulfilled, it has been done. Okay? Don't say Allah wills, wants this, but maybe it still has not happened. This is not possible. Okay? So Allah, in His Irade Takwini, decided to keep Ahlul Bayt away from any impurity. And this includes sins, whether it's major, whether it's minor, whether it's intentional, whether it is unintentional, anything that would associate them with negativity, darkness, lack of respect, is kept away from them. There are more than 70 hadith narrated by Fariqain. What does Fariqain mean?
Both sex
means both groups in Islam, Sunni and Shia. More than 70 hadith narrated by Fariqain means by all sects, you know, Sunni and Shia, about this ayah being about Imam Ali, Lady Fatima, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and of course the Prophet himself. The next evidence is Hadith al-Thaqalain. Yes.
Has any narration existed, or has any of the wives claimed that she was included in this verse? Because the other school says this is about the wives. Have any of the wives, because we know that they used to be very proud of anything revealed about them.
We have this, I have mentioned this in my book, Shi Islam, that when this incident of Kisa happened and Rasulullah said, these are my Ahlul Bayt, Lady Umm Salama asked Rasulullah, am I included? And Rasulullah said, you are good. But Rasulullah didn't accept that she was Ahlul Bayt. And we have lots of discussion about this, who are Ahlul Bayt? And in Shi Islam, I have explained that Ahlul Bayt doesn't refer to the wives of the Prophet or to the, for example, uncles and cousins and relatives of the Prophet. Ahlul Bayt has a special meaning, and Rasulullah himself, many cases, has applied Ahlul Bayt only to Lady Fatima, Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. And also once we, I think, mentioned about the ayah of Nur, fi buyutin adhana Allah, Ahlul Bayt are the people who are constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not possible that everyone who was related to Rasulullah be Ahlul Bayt. Even Sunni brothers have this, that, for example, about wives of the Prophet, they say they are not Ahlul Bayt, because a wife, when she is divorced, goes back to her Ahlul Bayt. Yeah? So they are not like Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. Anyway, Hadith al-Saqalain, which we mentioned for the idea of Nasb, also is useful here. Because Rasulullah said in this hadith, إِنَّهُمَا لَيَّفْتَرِقَ حَتَّى يَرَدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ. My Ahlul Bayt and Quran will always be together. They will never separate each other. What does it mean? It means that Ahlul Bayt never go to a direction different from Quran. They would never oppose Quran or differ from the Quran or conflict with the Quran. And also it means that always Ahlul Bayt will remain. So there is continuity of the Quran. Quran is not going to disappear. Ahlul Bayt are also going to continue. So at least a member of Ahlul Bayt is always alive. And then on the Day of Judgment, near the fountain of Kothar, they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Again, in the book Shi'i Islam, I have mentioned few points that can be understood from Hadith al-Saqalain. This is about Isma, about ilm, knowledge of Imam. Our Sunni brothers, they say Imam doesn't need to be ma'soom. Also, they say Imam doesn't need to be most knowledgeable. Even Imam doesn't need to be second most knowledgeable or the third most knowledgeable. And I don't think they have any problem with Imam having ordinary knowledge. Yeah? It can be ordinary, like there were many cases that they were not, you know, very learned or very educated. Because for them, it's a matter of more power and kind of maybe management. Yeah, management. But you don't need to be Islamically very, you know, learned and very educated. But we say not only Imam should be more knowledgeable than anyone in the society, because Imam is going to guide them. Not only Imam should be more knowledgeable, but also his knowledge must be of a different type. Because his knowledge coming because of he is very intelligent, or, you know, he has studied a lot, then this is not enough. Maybe then another person comes up who is more intelligent. Or maybe he makes mistakes. Imam should have a special access to Allah's knowledge directly. أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعَ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهِدِّي إِلَّا أَنْ يُهْدَى. This ayah is very important. It's not in the book here, but you can write it down. Allah says, pardon? I don't remember the reference, but أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي. Maybe someone can check and tell us. أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعَ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهِدِّي إِلَّا أَنْ يُهْدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is more qualified, who should be yuttaba, followed? Then Allah gives two options. The one who guides towards the truth, or the one who doesn't guide unless he himself is taught and is guided. La yahiddi, he cannot find his own way unless he is yuhda, he is guided. What does it mean? Please later study this ayah carefully. I don't know if you got it, but inshallah later you can reflect on it. Ayah doesn't give us three options. That, okay, there can be a person who is in need of guidance but cannot show you the path. There is a person who is in need of guidance, but he has received the guidance, then he can guide you. And there's a person who doesn't need guidance. No, Allah doesn't say like this. Allah gives us only two sides. Either he's guiding to the truth, or he's in need of guidance. So it means that the one who is in need of guidance cannot guide to the truth. So in the Quranic standard of guidance, okay, in this standard of guidance. Even ulama are not guide. Yeah, ulama, I mean ordinary ulama, not ma'asumin, because ma'asumin are also alim, but ordinary ulama are not in this sense hadi. Hadi is the one that doesn't need guidance from people. Allah guides him directly. Okay? Ulama guide us, but in a different sense. Do you understand? When Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِرْ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَاد, that had means ma'asum. Every nation must have had, means hadi. Had, hadiyun becomes hadin. Yeah, you study sarf. Yeah, this is naqis, and then because it has tanween, it becomes hadin. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِرٌ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. Anyway, Surah Yunus, verse 35. Thank you very much. So, Imam not only has to be more knowledgeable than anyone else in the society, in the community, in the ummah, but also he has to have a special type of knowledge, not a knowledge which is through learning, because then another person may learn more. Or maybe Imam then forgets, he loses his memory. If, you know, this can happen to ordinary people. You can have the most brilliant and intelligent person, after one accident, he may lose his memory. Okay? But Imam's knowledge is different. Imam's knowledge has to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to Ahlul Bayt, he said, who are, you know, leaders after him, he said, لا تعلموهم فإنهم أعلم منكم. Do not teach Ahlul Bayt. They know better than you. They are the most knowledgeable people. One of the problems of people who have no knowledge is not only they are not ready to learn, they are not also, unfortunately, understanding that they cannot teach ulama. Johal, they don't want to learn, but they are ready to teach ulama. And this is the problem. Then ulama have to always be careful with respect to the people who have no knowledge. Because if you say something and they don't like, then they come and teach you. And if you don't accept, they create troubles.
Is the hadith in Sunni books as well?
Yes, yes.
It's in Sunni books.
Sunni Shia. لا تعلموهم فإنهم أعلموا منكم. In the book, the reference is given in the book. Or Rasulullah said, أنا مدينة العلم وعليون بابها. We have this also in Dua Nutbe. فمن أراد المدينة والحكمة فليأتها من بابها. Ali is the gate of the city of knowledge, which is Rasulullah. If you want to benefit from this knowledge of Rasulullah, you should go through that gate. So this gives Ali a special position. It's not that Imam Ali alayhi salam was just learned or was alim. No, he has a special position. Yes. Of course. Yeah. من أراد المدينة والحكمة فل يأتها من بابا. They should come from. And there is hadith which says, this hadith is also very good. Should remember this hadith. One of the things that I always emphasize is, don't think whoever is not with you is your enemy. There are many people who are not with us, but they are not our enemy. Okay? The hadith says people with respect to Imam Ali are three groups. Those who entered through this gate. So they believed in Imam Ali's role, they entered through Imam Ali and got into the Madinatul Ilm. Some people through this gate went out. What does it mean? It means they rejected the gate. Then the third group, the people who didn't go in and didn't come out. What does it mean? It means that they have not benefited from his leadership, but they are not against him. They just don't know. And these are the people that we have to reach to out to them. Okay? Unfortunately, sometimes we think everyone who is not with us is against us. This is not Islamic understanding. Okay. Amirul Mu'mini alayhi salam also himself said that Rasulullah, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allamani alfa babin. Rasulullah taught me 1,000 gates of knowledge, which is more important than teaching me 1,000 things. This is gate, means through gate you enter a world. Okay? So Rasulullah opened for Amir al-Mu'minin 1,000 gates, and from each of them 1,000. So altogether, alf bab, 1,000,000 gates were opened. Hatta alimtu ma kana wa ma yakun ila yawm al-qiyam. Till I knew what happened and what is going to happen till the Day of Judgment. وَعَلِمْتُ الْمَنَايَا وَالْبَلَايَا وَفَصْلَ الْخِطَابِ. He knows the death of the people, he knows about the calamities, and he has فَصْلُ الْخِطَابِ. One can settle the debates. We have to make few points, but unfortunately the time is over. So I mention one point and then we continue, inshallah, next week. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam received their knowledge from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directly or indirectly. But also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has another way of guiding people that He's pleased with, and that is communicating to them in the form of inspiration, ilham, or wahy. For example, Allah talks about Lady Maryam being communicated, receiving communication, the mother of Musa. Okay? So sometimes also there is direct communication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people, for example, Allah says, Allamnahu min ladunna ilma. Even about, for example, you know, some individuals in the Quran, Allah says that we taught them from ourselves. So some type of knowledge is through inspiration from Allah. For example, we have about Lady Fatima that she was muhaddatha, means she was talked to, means angels talked to her. Or for example, you know, we have that Holy Spirit, Ruhul Qudus, which is greater than Jibra'il, is with Imams, and also, you know, even mu'minin, good mu'minin, they can be helped with Ruhul Qudus. Okay? So, there are different types of non-conventional knowledge that Imam has. And inshallah, we continue with more verses from the Quran to show that they had ilmul kitab. And they had knowledge of the book, and I think this is very important discussion, so let's not rush. We continue, inshallah, this discussion, and also we would, inshallah, study next week lesson 40, which is about Imam Mahdi, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.